All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. Dead Penetration's not here. I don't know if he'll show up or not, but let's go ahead and get started. Gabe Newell caps off Steam Machine Week by taking delivery of new $500 million super yacht with a submarine garage, onboard hospital, and 15 gaming PCs. "We knew we were asking for unusual things," says Newell, and OceanCo embraced it with open arms. Valve co-founder and games industry man of mystery, Gabe Newell, put consoles on notice Wednesday and has now ended the week by taking delivery of his new custom-designed superyacht, the Leviathan. The vessel was built by OceanCo, a firm that's done such a good job that Newell just decided to up and buy it outright in August, apparently because he respects the sea. The news comes via Boat International, the global authority on superyachting, which has OceanCo CEO Marcel Alkenhout waxing lyrical about the glories of the Gaben boat. Leviathan is 111 meters long and the 50th largest yacht in the world. Alkenhout says the diesel-electric vessel is the most comfortable yacht ever designed by the company. You'd hope so. And a feat of custom engineering. You want cables? It's got 280 miles of them, powering everything from an onboard hospital with a live-in nurse, air conditioning, satellites, cavernous garages for tenders, small boats, not chicken, and submarines, and of course, entertainment systems. We're not done, not even close. It's got two gyms, a 250 square meter beach club with a spa and bar, a diving platforms, and whatever a dedicated drinks pantry is. The cherry on top, a room with 15 of the finest gaming PCs ever assembled. Now that would be one hell of a LAN party. Newell's own chambers include, per luxury launches, a large bathroom finished with parquet flooring and ash cabinetry. Sounds nice. Time for some words from the man himself. "Working with a team at OceanCo is incredibly enjoyable and a lot of fun. Everyone's professional, creative, and dynamic," he said. "We knew that we were asking for unusual things, and OceanCo embraced it with open arms. Not only have we designed a very unusual yacht that leans into OceanCo's strengths of innovation and design, but the team has also been willing to collaborate with us on evolving the process. From the very start, we knew nothing about her would be done in a traditional way. We were welcomed into the team alongside Gabe and everyone else who would be ultimately involved in operating her. It's this level of collaboration that sets Leviathan apart from anything we've done before." Leviathan has also been designed with scientific work in mind. Newell's interests now include Starfish Neuroscience, a company focused on neural interfaces, popularly known as brain chips. I didn't know that. An Inkfish, a marine research operation. Part of this is a convention-defying layout that apparently brings teams together, which makes me think about all the times I've read about desks with wheels at Valve. The materials were also chosen with an eye on reducing maintenance and repetitive tasks for the yacht's staff, so traditional materials like teak decks and wooden handrails are out, and composite alternatives are in. The diesel-electric power plant works alongside a battery storage system that allows Leviathan to operate for long stretches with no emissions, and also features an advanced wastewater treatment system. She's not just a high-performance vessel. She's a working ecosystem designed to support everything from the world-class hospitality to scientific research. That's what happens when you put people and purpose at the center. Over 2,000 people were involved in the vessel's creation, and all of their names are engraved on a glass panel in the main staircase. Wow. The Leviathan joins his existing small fleet of very expensive boats, including the Draken and Rocinante, though this is undoubtedly the jewel in his collection. He says he still works 7 days a week on super awesome projects, even though he's technically retired, and the Leviathan will no doubt fit nicely into the multi-billionaire's daily routine. Get up, work, and go scuba diving. Large cost, I like Steam as much. Next guy. Not exist. Oh, you know, it's a lot of content deactivated. Yeah, let's not go to the content section. Comment section, rather. Woman kills herself by slashing her throat with a chainsaw. Good lord. A woman took her own life by slashing her throat with an electric chainsaw in front of customers at a shopping center in France. She was reportedly in her 60s and used the machine to kill herself around 4 p.m. Firefighters, police, and ambulance crew rushed to the scene, but the woman could not be rescued following the incident. An investigation has since been opened by the Gap Public Prosecutor's Office to determine the cause of death, according to local reports. The woman was known to have suicidal thoughts. Well, she definitely went through on them. The public prosecutor of Gap, whatever that guy's name is, told TF1 Info on Sunday morning, an investigation to the cause of death has been opened. It has been entrusted to the Gap police station following the suicide of the woman born in 1965. It comes 2 months after a lesbian school principal took her own life by jumping off a cliff on the first day of a term after a campaign of homophobic abuse. Well, okay, so that's just some other stuff that's unrelated. But that is hardcore. I mean, a chainsaw. What a way to go. The Power of Discipline, Omarion reveals what it was like to be celibate for 3 years, including developing a surprising new skill. Have you ever heard of an R&B singer practicing celibacy? The genre centers around love, and a lot of that love involves a lot of sex. Jodeci, or Jodeci, whoever that is, wasn't in the desert for a nice, tender hug. They were fiending for a little something more than a peck on the cheek. Sensuality doesn't necessarily define R&B. It's primarily about intimacy, and that can take many forms. So it's unconventional to think of an artist foregoing sex entirely, yet that's what Omarion did, all in the name of spirituality. Recently, the Icebox crooner spoke to Sean Stockman about his weird experience with celibacy. There he talks about how he searched for strength and self-control when it came to his mind, body, and spirit. He makes a point of stressing that he loves women both platonically and romantically. Ultimately, he claims to have learned actual telepathy and that soul ties are a real connection with women on the physical tip. I think that's when I was being introduced to a form of telepathy, feeling closer to someone even when they're away. I just had the power to say no to anything. Like, yo, if I don't want to do something, I could stop today. And I think that's the power of discipline. It really turns your life into just another level, he explains. So I think more than anything that I was really just practicing discipline of self, and it really served its purpose, he continues. I'm one of the few guys that I could turn my discipline on and off. And it's like a cheat code for certain things. I really know how to focus and commit to something because of that discipline. Sex was always a prominent factor in his career as an R&B artist and a celebrity in general. In the Know Thyself podcast, he recalls being a teenager in B2K and receiving stern advice not to be wild and out in the streets. If he wanted to maintain a strong career, his songs didn't stray away from lovemaking, but over time his religious journey altered the complexion of his songs. It was just an interesting time. I was really studying my Bible, and ultimately, like I said in my book, it wasn't for me, he said, but it allowed me to step out of this world and have the responsibility of being a sex symbol and being a young adult. Very interesting. Almost 100 songs. Man. Gotta wonder how many of those are AI. Look, they're already getting started, guys. And you won't even know. My life with 4 stone O-cup breasts that won't stop growing. When Summer Robert was 7, she had to borrow a B-cup bra from her friend's mom because she was bursting out of her school polo shirt. I was so small, I was just a walking boob throughout most of school, she tells Metro. I definitely looked super awkward because I had nothing on me apart from boobs. Now, 18 years later, 25 years old and 4'9". Whoa, she's kind of short. Summer measures in at around a 30N or 28O O-cup breast size, depending on the shop, with the weight on her chest amounting to more than 4 stone or 25 pounds. She's been diagnosed with gigantomastia, a severe form of macromastia, which causes excess breast tissue to grow rapidly. My favorite, kind of. If there's any women around that have the macromastia and you're listening, let me know. DM me. No. Okay. Despite this, she claims doctors have refused her reduction surgery due to the fact that she exceeds the BMI threshold criteria set by the NHS where she lives in Glasgow. Technically, Summer is categorized as morbidly obese, but she only measures that way because of her chest size, something that's caused her problems since she can remember. When I would run in PE, boys would shout, "Bounce, bounce, bounce," Summer recalls. At just 13, she claims that she received a shocking comment by a teacher. "I wore a vest top under my shirt because there were gaps between the buttons where the fabric stretched. And he said, 'You need to put a jumper on,' she says. I said no, because it was summer and I was boiling. So he sent me to the headmaster because he was getting too distracted." Summer's parents frequently shouted at school staff for sending their daughter home because of her breasts, but it didn't faze her. "I just thought it's not my fault these teachers are perverts," she added. On her walks home from school, she'd be catcalled about 6 times, and it's this public harassment that truly affected Summer. "I'd bring baggy band t-shirts to school to put over my uniform so I could walk home and not get targeted, but I'd still get catcalled," she says. "I thought, oh my god, I hate this. I felt like the world was eating me up inside. It was awful." At 15, when she'd gone from a B-cup to a DD in the space of a couple of months, Summer's mom took her to the doctor concerned about the rapid growth. The GP said it was just puberty. But it wasn't just fitting into her uniform that was a problem at this age. Summer's large breasts meant older guys were predatory towards her, and her first serious boyfriend at 15 was 11 years older than her. "I was sexualized by him and his friends, and my parents obviously hated him, but I'd sneak out to a different town to see him at these weird parties," she adds. "I thought it was cool, but in hindsight, it wasn't." Okay, so macromastia and gigantomastia. I know a lot about these. So, macromastia is just enlarged breasts in women. It's a condition common among teenagers. I've dated women that have macromastia. It was a thing for me. Girls with macromastia may have pain in their back, shoulders, and neck. They may have difficulty finding clothes that fit and may require specialized sports bras with wide straps. Yeah, I had a... when I was dating her, she could only wear a sports bra. They were just that big. There was no way, and I can confirm they were that big because I was there to, you know, to basically, I was able to get hands on, so I can, you know. But yes, it is a thing that happens, and yeah, it can be really uncomfortable. She didn't quite care for it that much when she was thin. You know, she started out very thin, and she had, you know, these gigantic, like, you know, monster boobs, and yeah, that was pretty cool. But as she got older, you know, she decided to gain a little more weight, and that actually kind of made it easier on her because it wasn't the point where there was more stability there, right? Like, when you have these giant breasts and you're skinny, it's like all this weight pushing down on your back, right? But when you have a little more weight there, then it's not so bad. But of course, you have to be careful with too much weight because then it gets hard to walk and things like that. They may develop rashes under their breasts, and they may even be unable to perform activities such as sports. A proportion of girls with macromastia have anxiety and decreased body image. It's true. The cause is unknown, and it's diagnosed by patient history and a physical examination. Gigantomastia is a more extreme version. It does happen. Gigantomastia is extremely rare, but there are definitely girls making a lot of money off of it now. Because there's a lot of ladies with gigantomastia breasts, and they are making good lord tons of money on these sex sites now. But she left school at 16, double J breasts, to work in hospitality, but the harassment only grew worse. "I became a chef in my dad's restaurant, but I was too over-sexualized, and other chefs were too grabby and handsy." And see, that's something I wouldn't put up with if that was my girlfriend. I'd be like, you know, I'd have to have a word with the manager. I'd be like, "I hear that your chefs are going around groping my wife or my girlfriend's boobs. I'm not crazy about it. Can you have a talk with them? Because if you don't, I will." So I went back to waitressing and became a manager, but I didn't get taken seriously. One man put me in a headlock when I asked him to leave because of his creepy and gross behavior towards me. I don't like that either. A year later, at 17, she returned to the doctor because her breasts had again grown significantly. See, what I do is I always, you know, if I look, I always, you know, act embarrassed. Because, you know, I do try to be professional. I'm like, you know, I'll mention it like it's an elephant in the room sort of thing. Instead of like, oh my god, it's like, It's like, yeah, they, and then she'll say, well, yeah, dude. It's like, look, I'm just, you know, I just noticed that's all I'm doing here. No craziness. And sometimes they actually start laughing or a little bit, like playful laughter, because, you know, I'm clearly not going in like a horn dog, like, oh, look at them giant titties. No, I'm just, you have to act like bashful about it, right? Because when you go in there and you're like, I mean, you could see, here's the thing, guys. When you're together and you're a couple, then you can kind of talk like that, because she gives you the okay. Like, if it's the right time. Obviously, you don't want to embarrass her yourself, you know. But if you're together, you know, she might actually want you to do those kinds of things. Like, she'll be like, tell me more about my giant breasts that everybody makes fun of. And yeah, because she wants to hear that. Remember, this is a thing that people made fun of on her. So if you're the guy that actually digs it and you treat her properly about it, she won't, you know, again, there's a lot of guys that are going to treat her improper. You see the tits on that one? Yeah, I mean, even if you're talking like that amongst your friends, you don't want to say that out loud or be a creep about it, because that's not cool. Like, everybody knows that locker room talk happens in both men and women. You know, that's just something I've always known as long as I've been alive. I've seen the women talk about the men. I've seen the men talk about the women. It always happens. That's just the way it is. But what I am saying, guys, is, yeah, there's a time and a place. There's definitely a time and a place. And if you act, you know, decent about it, and you know... And also, you gotta keep in mind, the girl, like, she's gotta have something more going on than just the boobs, unless you're just there for sex. In that case, you might really upset her, because she might have not been wanting that from you. She might have been wanting something a little more than that, but she's willing to give up sex because she wants to hope that it will lead to something else. Because, yes, there is... Again, this is personal experience. I fucked up on this because, yeah, there was a woman, again, that I knew that had breasts like that. And basically, I kind of flubbed up because she did want something more. And I didn't find her, I mean, I didn't really give her much of a chance, to be honest. Like, that's something I realized later on. And actually, you know, I was acting a little, even though we were in that situation where we were a couple and we could talk, I kind of went over a little overboard. So I did call her a couple years later and I apologized. And I said, you know, I think I took things a little too far. I think I was acting a little crazy. And she came back and said, you know, we were just kids, though, at the time. So... like, I don't hold anything against you. It's cool. I'm not upset about you or anything. It's just, we were kids. We didn't really understand what was going on. And it's good. Like, she forgave me and all that. And yeah. But, yeah, like I said, I know a lot of women with rather large breasts. It's been a thing of mine for years. And, yes, they do absolutely get picked on. Even today, like, the catcalling and shit, yes, that happens, but when they're young, the guys will point it out and stuff, and the girls will point it out. It's just something they've dealt with for a long time. And it's not something that is positive for them. So, the kind of sex work and things that women do now, that kind of gives them a little more confidence, even though some of those guys can be absolute fucking creeps, as you might expect. Like, guys on there are gonna sometimes be absolute fucking creeps. They're gonna send the craziest shit, and they're gonna talk about how they want to put their dick in between them. Like, a lot of women don't really want to hear about that unless they're getting paid for it. Like, if it's a sex work thing, sure. But other than that, like, they don't want random Joe talking about, you know, how what he wants to do between their tits. That's not a turn on. But, yeah, like I said, it's something I know quite a lot about, and I have dated many large-breasted women, so I can tell you exactly what's going on. I was one of the guys that picked up women, especially because I like their bust size, right? And then you find out they're actually pretty cool people. And again, I flubbed them, but some cases might have been good and some cases was bad. Like, one case was not really good. That person may have been a detriment, maybe a really, really hard to deal with, and I don't think I could have actually fixed the damage that was going on. That's something that's going to need a lot of work and therapy and stuff that I just was not able to handle. And shouldn't have been able to handle, but, you know, I was at least probably going to try when I was younger. And the other one was literally just my fuck-up, because she was legitimately a good person. Like, I'm not even fucking around. She was a good person. We're talking about somebody who was a caretaker to her parents while they were old. And she decided to become the sole caretaker and, you know, do all the work and stuff like that. So she was actually a legitimately good person. She wanted a family. She just wanted to be happy, loving the person. Like, she wasn't one of these that went around and cheated and anything like that. She was never that kind of person. And, yeah, I did flub that. I think I did. So it's something I do have to take with me. This is the same girl I talked about before with, you know, the sports bra and all that. But, yeah, I flubbed that. She was a geek. She was kind of into the erotic stories and stuff. So things would have probably worked out pretty well for us in hindsight. But a lot of people said we might have been a little bit too much alike. So I don't know. Maybe that would have been what brought us together. I have no idea. I just didn't think she was that attractive in the face. Which is something I guess you don't mind after a while. And I guess that's kind of one of the drawbacks when you're looking at, you know, all these gorgeous women on, you know, the media. Not even talking about porn. We're talking about everything. Because this is an age when porn wasn't that big. It was still the early 2000s. You know, internet wasn't real great. We still had flip phones. So let me skip that real quick, guys. But yeah, like I was saying, it was a very different time. So yeah, you do see these women, you're like, well, I want a woman that looks like blah 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 blah, and you realize, hey, you know, she's not the nicest, maybe not the nicest looking as far as the face is concerned, but there's a good person there. Like, actual good person that shares your interests and you can do stuff together and enjoy it because she likes the same shit you do. So you can kind of, like, she got me into Doctor Who and stuff back when Doctor Who was starting out in the 2000s version, you know, that classic version. She was all into that. She was big into British programming. We watched, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and I rested my head on her breast while we watched it, and she hadn't had a problem with that. So, yeah, it was pretty good. I should probably not have flubbed that girl, but I did, and it's something I have to live with. Let's see. And now, she was 27 when I was 20. I was about 23, so we weren't that far apart, but she was older than me. And basically, let's see. Now I'm 40, so that makes her, like, I guess about 45? Something like that. Let's see. The crazy thing is, though, she was the sports fan. I wasn't. She's big into football. And I don't mean, like, NFL. I mean, like, you know, European football. But yeah, it was interesting. Let's see. Alright, so anyway, I have experience with all this. And before that girl, I dated another girl with large breasts too. And I mean, they got they got much larger over time. But that one, yeah, I kind of flubbed that too, because I didn't just give her enough time. Like, honestly, I think I broke up with her after a week. And I was kind of upset about that. Then there was another one, and she had a really large ass. But what happened is, after she had her baby with this other guy that was not a good fit for her, then the boobs just grew, like, enormous. It's like they just came out of nowhere. And I'm like, holy crap, now she has large boobs, too. And, of course, she's over there telling me, oh, this guy is horrible, but look at me now. Look how big my boobs are and stuff. I'm like, yeah, you know, like, you got that guy now. That's your issue. And that dude was awful. Like, that dude's a guy to be behind bars. He's pretty dangerous. He was a meth head, man. But all right. And back to the boobs. They told me to lose weight, even though I was a size 8 on the bottom half. My mom went crazy because there was no fat on me. She received letters from doctors, the words BMI and overweight and bold, which caused her to develop an eating disorder. Oh, that's terrible. Being told to lose weight was my final straw, Summer adds. I'd been told I was fat from such a young age, from stepping on the Wii Fit, which said I was morbidly obese, to getting that letter, so I thought maybe I am overweight. She changed her eating habits and lost a dangerous amount of weight, but always had a fat rack. It's because it was pure breast tissue. I was really sick, but then my mom broke down and my family begged me to eat. That's when I started looking after myself again. It was only 23 when she felt a lump on her breast and a doctor agreed, said she needed a reduction. My GP sent me to a cancer specialist the same day. They said, it's not cancerous, but you need a reduction. This isn't normal. I thought, thank God, someone's listening to me. So she referred for one, and then 7 minutes later, they refused to do the reduction because my BMI was too high. They didn't care. So Summer resigned herself to living life with an ever-growing breast and continues to wear a doctor-prescribed corset wherever she goes. I've worn one since I was 16 because if I'm walking, my back feels like it's broken. Oh my God, it's so intense and painful, she says. If I'm washing up or cleaning my house, I have to wear a bra because of the sheer weight of them. I swim a lot because I'm weightless, so it's a relief, but then I get out the pool and it feels horrific. By the way, that's not all the big boobs I've been around in my life. When I was in, I think I may have mentioned this, but when I was a roomie, not to mention the girl with the big boobs that I was dating at the time was there, but my roomies were also too, I guess you could say large size women with very, very, very large breasts as well. So I'm used to that, and I would go swimming with them. We always used to go swimming at the hotel that she was the manager of, one of the girls. Ladies, rather. And oh yeah, I mean, it's just that large breasts have always been a part of my life. for as long as I've been alive. It is like I said, it was always a joke for all the ladies. And a lot of guys will say, like, why do you like all these muscle girls, though? It's like, I like two things. I was talking to Grok about this. And Grok said, one thing about autism is most people that are autistic, they really don't go through the tunnel that most people do when they get on the porn. Like, they said, most people, they start at one thing and they move because they need something more and more extreme, right? And we have seen extreme stuff on here, but I gotta be honest with you guys. I'm one of these guys that can go and watch something crazy like the Sleepless stuff, right? And then I'll go right back to my boobs and muscle girls like nothing ever happened. It's like you have no desire. No. I mean, while that's interesting to see, it's not something that I actually am into. Like, it won't do anything for me. The only thing that will do anything for me is the muscle girls or the large boob girls or sometimes the large butt. I like the large butt girls. Stuff like that. Usually body fetish or growth fetish, size fetish stuff. That's pretty much the only thing that really does anything for me at all in the world. There's no other form of sex or watching sex that gets me off. It doesn't do anything. I'm literally a guy that can look at a picture and like, that's what I want right there. That'll do it. And a lot of guys, they can't do that. They're like, I gotta go to this, I gotta go to that, I gotta go to this. And I kind of feel bad for them, because I'm like, that must be horrible. Like, you start out at one thing, and you just, now you're looking at just absolutely obscene stuff. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'll just go back to what I know and what I love. And even people that, like, look at my ex profile, you'd be like, dude, it's all muscle girls or large breast girls or art. You know, or art or stuff like that. And like, yeah, that's it. That's pretty much all I like to post. Other than, you know, game information and game trailers, footage, stuff like that. personal thoughts, metal things, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But as far as the pictures, the girls that are on there, that's all you get. That's what I like. It's literally what I like. It's what I've liked since I first started liking women. So, yeah. It's different. It's absolutely different being autistic and having just the same few fetishes. It's like, well, that's what I like. And some women will be like, well, I don't know if I can do this because that's the same. It's always going to be the same thing, right? Like, you have to get a certain kind of person because they're going to realize, well, this is what you want. And then there's going to be some women that'll be like, oh, well, okay, since you're easy to please. You know, stuff like that. It's interesting. It's an interesting situation. For those who want to know why I'm so talkative, it's because, one, I got sleep, and two, I don't know what's going on in here, but there's some kind of, I don't know if it's insulation or mold. I don't think it's any mold. I haven't seen any. I have, you know, maybe things got kind of musty in here. I have no idea what's going on. But anyway, I just have the worst sinus and eye pain and everything when I wake up after I've slept in here. And I've started sleeping in the living room on the couch, guys. And when I do that, I wake up and I don't have the eye pain, or I don't feel like brain fog or nothing. It's like whatever the heck is in here that's messing with me, it isn't in there anymore. So I don't know. Don't know what it is, guys, but yeah, I just sleep in there now, and everything's great. And again, I also get to bed earlier. You know, I'll be going to bed about 2:30. So I basically get up at 2:30. Excuse me. I go to bed at 2:30. I get up at 11, and then I do my thing. But yeah, we can actually kind of go back to me doing the regular rants. Like, remember how we used to do the grim rants and articles? We can kind of do that again. Because one guy said, I want you to start reading the shit first and then talk, because I like your perspective more than the article. And to be absolutely fair, you guys have, like, ChatGPT and Grok and all that shit, and you guys can literally say, give me a summary of the article, and it'll just literally give you a summary of the article. So you really don't need me to fucking read you the article anymore, right? But it says she can't go to the gym, go for a run, or find a bra that doesn't cost her 400 euros. But despite these drawbacks, she has turned her large breasts into a positive. Of course, she went on OnlyFans at 23. Yes, I've seen those boobs before. They're quite massive. Scotch Dolly. The suggestion of a colleague. Oh, and I'm not saying on her OnlyFans. Like, there's a lot of boob pages. A lot of them are run out of Nigeria, but not all of them. And basically, a lot of the boob pages on X, they will just have different models, different OnlyFans girls. And of course, some of the girls have their own pages where they're like, here's my OnlyFans, but they'll show, like, the full video. Not the full video, but they'll show enough, and I'll be like, okay, cool. Because I don't need to see her doing a bunch of shit. All I need to see is the boobs. That's literally it. It's like, you want to see? No, I really don't. Just shake the boobs a little bit. That's all I need right there. I'm good. That's it? Yep, that's it. Well, shit, we can't make any money off you. Welcome to autism. Here's my card. But I gotta admit, there are some scenes in the games where things are kind of hot. But again, I don't look for them. I just if I see them in the games and they look cool, I'm like, oh, cool, let's experience this. This seems kind of cool. But I don't want to watch, like, real people do it. It's weird, right? Doesn't make a lot of sense. Welcome to autism again. Here's my card. And the suggestion of a colleague after an evening of being harassed by customers behind the bar. She flaunts her boobs on the subscription porn site for about 13 euros, and last month she made about 70,000 euros. Alarmingly, three of her four teachers subscribed to the account. I mean, look at her. But for the young model, it's just more money in her pocket. When I first started, there was one bikini picture of me, and I made 800 euros in a day, she says. I used to make that in 2 weeks. It's true. Look, if you got it flaunted, honestly, if you've got gigantic super boobs, that's literally what we do with women. It's like, you can do adult stuff with that. It's literally what we used to say back in the day. Now when she gets catcalled walking down the street, she replies and tells them to subscribe to the OnlyFans. When I was younger, I had hated attention, but now I just think they could be a potential buyer. And my subscribers aren't creepy. They genuinely love my breasts and support me. Okay, well, her opinion against mine, I guess. She's the one that deals with these guys, so maybe they aren't so creepy. With her newfound confidence, she wants young women who face similar struggles to focus on themselves. Blame the clothes companies if nothing fits you. Big boobs are beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with your body. Absolutely. Big boobs are beautiful. The bigger, the better, I say. Okay. Now, DoorDash woman arrested after filming naked man she thought was sexually assaulting her. Listen to this. Last month, a 23-year-old DoorDash delivery driver in Oswego, New York, named Olivia Henderson, showed up at a customer's house, only to find the front door ajar and a man sprawled unconscious on the couch, naked from the waist down. Henderson said the sight of the sprawled-out naked man felt deliberate, like some pervert's way of getting off, or maybe to shock or intimidate her. Women are constantly subjected to these kind of horrors, so it's not out of the realm of possibility. Unsure of the man's intentions or of what he was even going on at all, she did what any modern-day 20-something would do. She pulled out her phone and started recording. She filmed the man from outside the house and posted a video to TikTok. It soon blew up. She framed the experience as a kind of sexual assault, arguing that no one, DoorDash delivery or otherwise, should have to lay eyes on a customer's genitalia while on the job. Then she blasted the Oswego police for doing nothing, then blasted DoorDash after her account was deactivated. Her videos grew increasingly emotional and exasperated. I was working, she sounded. Furious that she had punished, she felt punished while the man faced no consequences. She fell into a classic social media post spiral. When you're stuck in one of those, the only way to get out of it seems like more posting. She posted more videos of pleading that she was a victim, insisting that she'd gotten the only justice available by shaming the guy online. DoorDash fired back with a clarification, insisting that they do not deactivate drivers for reporting sexual assault, period. What they do deactivate drivers for is filming customers inside their own homes and broadcasting them to millions of strangers on TikTok. According to DoorDash, that was the only reason both Henderson and the customer had their accounts frozen while the company sorted out the mess. While all that social media was going down, the police were quietly wrapping up their investigation in the background, reaching a conclusion that seems both logical and spreads the blame evenly to all parties involved. The cops concluded that the man wasn't some kind of pervert performance artist trying to ensnare a female food delivery driver into his pervert trap. He was just a guy who got extremely drunk and passed out naked. The police say that it does not constitute a crime, nor does it constitute sexual assault. The man made a series of poor choices that ultimately led to some unfortunate timing. What did rise to the level of criminality, according to detectives, was Henderson's decision to film a private citizen in his home and post the footage online. She was arrested and charged with two felonies, unlawful surveillance and dissemination of an unlawful surveillance image. She was released pending her court date and has since gone silent on TikTok, at least about this. Yep. Here's a weird story. Man cryogenically preserved his wife and found a brand new girlfriend. Imagine that. Some news stories live a little bit of life on your behalf. What I mean by that is someone else out there made a series of, let's say, fascinating life choices for you. Someone who has nothing to do with the story whatsoever can learn from you can learn from as if you were in the story, so you know never to make those choices yourself. For instance, as detailed by the BBC back in 2017, when Gui Junmin's wife, Zhan Wenlian, died of lung cancer at 49 and decided to freeze her cryogenically. She became China's first person preserved in liquid nitrogen, disposed in a 2,000-liter tank at 190 degrees Celsius, guarded by a 30-year-old contract with the Shandong Yinfeng Life Science Research Institute. Cryonics is all about hope, the hope that one day someone will find a cure for whatever was killing the person being frozen, and the hope that the person will even wake up feeling normal after essentially being suspended in antifreeze. The body is cooled, infused with cryo-protecting chemicals, and stored until a bright and shiny future comes along, thus providing them with the opportunity to groggily say, "What year is it?" More than 500 people worldwide have signed up to be frozen, but no one has ever been revived. This isn't hard science. It's all speculative. For 2 years after Zahn's death, Gui lived alone, clinging to the idea that his love could be cryogenically preserved and potentially revived at a later date. But in 2020, after a gout attack left him immobilized in his apartment, he reconsidered his life as a solitary guardian of a frozen dead wife. So he started dating again. He found companionship with a living, fresh, never frozen woman named Wang Chengxia. And that's where when the denizens of China's internet culture went nuts. When the Chinese newspaper Southern Weekly reported the... Man, Southern Weekly, that's what you call the Chinese newspaper? Feel like there'd be a pickup truck and... Just, you know, Southern Weekly. Reported the relationship in November, social media reaction was fierce. People immediately took sides in a ferocious ethical debate. Some users argued that after 7 years, Gui deserved companionship. Others were far less forgiving, accusing him of the emotional equivalent of hedging his bets by trying to preserve the past while filming a fling, having a fling, there's no filming here, while having a fling in the present, with many wondering if it was fair to either woman involved, particularly Wang, who, in this hypothetical scenario, would be dumped to the curb if Gui's frozen wife were to be revived. Gui didn't help his case when he called his new relationship utilitarian, insisting that his living girlfriend hadn't yet truly entered his heart. That's a statement that makes him seem like the cold one. Got a sad one ended out this time. Broken mom, 27, admits to killing young... Ooh, sorry. That would be the mucus. Broken mom, 27, admits to killing young sons days after 72-year-old husband died of cancer. A broken mom killed her two young sons just days after decades older husband died of cancer, then tried to jump to her own death so they could all be reunited in heaven. Damn. Vanessa Colias, 27, sobbed in court Monday as she pleaded guilty to killing sons just 5 and 4 years old, December 2023, just 9 days after her 72-year-old husband, Costa. What? Well, hey, look, Costa had some money. Succumbed to an aggressive form of leukemia. She held her hands over their mouths and nose while singing, "You Are My Sunshine," then jumped off the balcony of their Toronto apartment in hopes of killing herself, too. Police found the brothers' bodies lying in front of a TV with a kids' show playing, with clothes for their funeral laid out beside them, along with a photograph of their recently deceased dad and a cross. The killer mom survived her jump, but was paralyzed from the waist down. Oh, wow. She was initially charged with first-degree murder, but the charges were downgraded to second-degree murder because of the grief. Because of the grief? You killed two kids and they bring it down to second-degree murder. Because of the grief she was suffering from her husband's death after a painful spiral. She told the psychiatrist she was broken, absolutely alone, and unable to conceive of continuing a life without her husband, and wanted all of them to be reunited in heaven. A part of me will always question why I never said I need help, she said during an emotional virtual court appearance from jail. I stand before you still that broken person who needs help putting herself back together, she said. To my babies, I love you more than anything, she sobbed. Thank you for showing me what true love is. You guys will forever be my favorite part of me. I'm so grateful I got to be your mom. Too bad I had to kill you. Hardest thing I will ever have to do is learn to be okay being here without you. Despite the lesser charge, Colias was still sentenced to life in prison without parole for at least 18 years. She said she knew what she did was wrong, but hoped others would understand that her intent was to save her sons and to be with her husband so they could all be together, according to court documents. Good gravy. Her husband died on December the 1st, and husband died on December the 1st of 2023, and she killed the boys on December the 10th. She told the court she was already exhausted from being her husband's 24/7 caretaker and watching him slowly deteriorate before my eyes. When she became a single mother after he died, she said, "I broke. I couldn't push no more." Was there no one else in your life? To my babies, I love you more than anything, she sobbed. Thank you for showing me. Yet you murdered them. No sympathy for me, you dumb bitch. Exactly. She's trying to make it about herself. He probably did not have her as a beneficiary. Doubt if love was her only concern. Caring for a dying loved one is one of the hardest things you'll do in life. However, even if you're exhausted and grief, an adult of any degree of maturity understands that life will go on. You have basic responsibilities to feed pets and feed yourself. Killing your kids isn't excusable, and grief doesn't excuse this. Wow. Absolutely insane. What is this? Well, I found, what was this? AR-15, allegedly found under a Florida college student's bed after he ordered 1,500 rounds of ammo to dorm. Oh, man. Well, we got him. Antisocial Jan 6 pipe bomb suspect started building devices in 2019, feds say. Wow, some interesting shit going on. I don't care about that. Okay, Kennedy Center honors. Yeah, Gene Simmons. Gene Simmons is doing something pretty cool. He's trying to get it. I don't have the article to hand. But basically, he's trying to make it so that these artists get the royalties. And you may think that doesn't mean a lot. Oh, they're rock stars. No. There's so many artists that are not getting paid. And now, I'm going to end this with one thing. I'm actually going to pull out Grok for a minute. Because I asked Grok something, and you're like... and you're going to be really surprised at what it told me. This was just a couple of days ago. But I was, you know, thinking about what was going on with the WMG situation I talked about on the last video. So basically, I have this saved. And, let's see here. Let's see if I can find it real quick. I may not have. May not have it on here. Let's see. That's weird that it doesn't have it. Just give it a minute. Hold on. Because I asked it, but oh well. Kind of crazy that I didn't have it, that it didn't. It's crazy that it didn't save that. Okay, so here's what it says about all this. Here's my unfiltered take. It's a clever pivot that prioritizes sustainability over chaos, but it's got the classic industry flavor. Great for the gatekeepers, promising but uneven for the creators on the ground. Let's break it down. Alright, so... okay, well, yeah, it does talk about that. Opt-in protections, broader ecosystem play. The downsides. Deprecating the old models. Current version 5 and earlier gets sunsetted in 2026. Users lose free downloads entirely. Everything's paywalled now, with monthly limits even for subscribers. Commercial lockdown vibes. While paid users keep commercial rights, tracks using WMG artist elements come with new strings attached. Those would be very restricted. It's the death of open source vibes, accusing it of stealing from small artists by funneling value to majors. One thread even predicts Suno gets gutted. Oh yeah, it'll be completely gutted. Alright, so who wins? Primarily good for the labels, hands down. WMG, and by extension the majors, gets a golden ticket, control over all the AI training data, cut of Suno's booming revenue, they're at 100 million users, and fresh off a $250 million funding round, and a blueprint to shape the entire ecosystem. It's monetization on steroids, expanding streams without losing the moat. Robert Kinsey, WMG CEO, called it a victory for creative community, but let's be real. That's code for we're scaling our empire with AI on our terms. Labels like this setup because it locks in their IP as the premium fuel, ensuring that they profit from the AI boom once they once sued to stop. For artists, it's more of a mixed bag, potentially good but with big caveats. Opt-in means control and new revenue. So royalties from fan-made AI tracks using your voice, which could be used for mid-tier acts looking to engage superfans interactively. Imagine Dua Lipa greenlighting AI collabs that pay her directly. But here's the rub. Only the WMG signed artists get this shot initially, leaving indies and non-major folks in the cold. Plus, if the models favor big artist data, it might homogenize outputs towards pop polish over raw, diverse sounds. So a lot of the stuff you guys heard me making, you will never hear again. Promise. Sideline the very experimentation AI promised. Early reactions from creators on X and Reddit lean worried. Will this empower just create another paywall for breakthroughs? I think it's awful. I think it's going to be awful. Personally, and it doesn't really say much as far as, yeah, I don't, like I said guys, I don't think it's gonna be a good thing. Sorry it took me so long, but I had a real good one. Where basically, I don't know why it got erased. Weird, because Grok usually keeps that kind of stuff. And it's weird that that one conversation is strangely erased from my history. I can't find it. And I know I had it. But anyway, it basically said that it's going to be bad for the artists, because they won't be able to make royalties as the labels own the master recordings. So if the label owns your masters, you can't make any money off of it. The labels own the masters that you recorded. So that's going to be really interesting. But anyway, what Gene wants to do is try to get it so all these artists, and they're doing something with the president. I mean, he's talking with the president of the United States right now. I don't know about right now. It's 1 a.m. But they were talking at some point. And they definitely want to make sure, because he made this speech today, that he wants to make sure that these artists get something. And they want to work something out with the government and the labels so that they can finally give these artists what they deserve. And we're talking about artists you guys grew up with. We're talking Limp Bizkit. We're talking Chevelle hasn't gotten paid. A lot of these bands have never gotten fucking paid for a lot of that work that they've done. They never got the money that they deserved for all that hard work. All those badass bangers you guys grew up with, I grew up with, nothing. Breaking Benjamin, think about it. There's so many bands out there that did not make the money that you think they made. They did well, but they could have done better, is what we're saying. The label pocketed so much money, and they got the scraps. Which isn't bad scraps, but it's not the kind of money that they should have been making. And that's what Gene is trying to rectify, working with the president. Because he says that the president is very pro-artist. So that is kind of a good thing. So here's my last word on the AI situation when it comes to Suno. So if, and this is a big if, so don't think about this too much. If there are artists that opt in, because again, artists will opt in to the WMG stuff, and it is good, like, I actually can go ahead and make something kind of, you know, cool with artists that don't mind me doing it. Like, artists that have given us the okay, and are like, alright, cool, you can make this. I will try it. However, I don't think I will like it. Because a lot of it is going to be designing pop music. I think a lot of it's going to be designing, like right now, I can pretty much get away with a lot of words, a lot of phrases, a lot of sentences, a lot of things. Okay? But when this model dies, and when it's gone for good, we will have a very, very censored, very clean version of AI music. So that's what we got to look forward to. That's what we're looking forward to. And a lot of people, and I don't mean that forward in a good way. I mean, people are gearing up. There's a lot of talk on Suno Discord, and, you know, they were erasing it, but now they can't do anything about it. They can't do anything about it, right? They realize that, yeah, this is exactly what's going to happen. And that's just it. You're going to see a lot of people leave, and only the people that stay are going to be the money makers. People that came in specifically to make money. That's the only reason they're there. People like myself that just wanted to hear the cool songs I wrote when I was younger, we're gone. We're done. We got our little songs. They're fun. They're awesome. They're cool. But other than that, that's it. I mean, I've been jamming to my AI stuff all day long. Just different songs, everything. You know, and of course, I find that I messed up a word or something, I'd cover it, and it would be the same song, just a little different, and it's still good. Still enjoying it. Still having a blast, you know. And when I get up tomorrow, I'm going to pump more songs into it. Start working again, throw another $8 into the program. It's only $8 for 1,000 credits, and you can use 1,000 credits, you know, for a lot of music. So I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm going to do $8, put some more songs in there, dump more songs, get more styles, have more different versions of songs, and have a good time, right? I'm going to try to get all the songs that I've written, or most of them that I've written, into the program. And I've been going through, like I said, all the stuff from my high school. I've only got about 37 songs left of the really old high school stuff. And then after that, I'm going to go back into the binder, and I think I've got some more extended high school stuff that I wrote. And of course, there's some stuff I did in my 20s, which I'm also throwing in there as well. So, for those of you that follow the Grimlord AI, I'll kind of let you know what's been going on, if I may release it. But basically, all the Dead Man's Lore material has been put into the program. Everything has been put into the program. Everything is finalized. Everything is ready to go. Almost every single song. I found a couple more songs for the, what was it called? The La Bella Morte record, which is basically kind of a weird record about a guy that wanted to be drowned in the ocean. Yeah, it's crazy, but it's so beautiful. The lyrics are so beautiful. So basically, I found like 3 more songs in a notebook that I didn't even know were part of it. And I'm going to be typing those in so I can finish those and actually finish that saga, because that's a Dead Man's Lore record, and it's a very, you know, dark one. I've actually been fooling around with different sounds with them. So I've got some good stuff going on, and some of it's real great. Like, just real awesome stuff. It blows away the stuff that I gave you guys and put on the channel, for sure. And then, of course, there's a lot of the new metal and the groove metal and all that kind of stuff. And the Damon Stone stuff I've actually found. I did all the Damon Stone songs. And I mean from the actual Damon Stone record. Yeah, I had a 6-track. I never finished it, but I got about 6 tracks done. And I managed to put them all in. And it's a pretty cool story. Never got finished, but it's pretty cool. I think that the characters' songs are really good. And of course, there's a song about the Daemon Stone itself, and it ends pretty tragically, but that's as far as it got, and I don't really know exactly what the rest of that story was going to be, because it's so long ago, I can't just go back into my mind and say, oh yeah, that's it. Like, I'd literally have to talk to myself 20 years ago to find out how that was supposed to end. But that was really cool. And, let's see, what else I got? Oh yeah, I've been doing some industrial, and I did some gothic stuff. Couple gothic things, some rap stuff, so like horrorcore, hip-hop, 90s, ICP, kind of twisted stuff like that. I'm not into the new stuff, but I'm into the old kind of stuff I grew up with. So I got some stuff like that, just a little bit of everything. Some nice rock songs, some sad rock songs, just everything. It's really good. Some of it really showcases the lyrics well, and it may get released sometime. Who knows? I'm not real sure. And I've got several versions of some of these songs. Because one thing you do want to do, if they're making the downloads on a pay thing, you want to download everything you can before 2026. So it's December the 7th right now. You know what that means? I got a couple of weeks. So I'm trying to get everything I fucking can into that program. And it's going to take me some money. It's going to take probably about 8, 16. Yeah, take me a good bit of chump change. But it's going to be worth it. Because I'd rather have all this stuff in the best version 5 model they have than, you know, to have to deal with WMG that's going to be censored. And I even managed to get some of the really hardcore shit I wrote. Really hardcore. There's one song I put in today. I'm like, no way. No way they're going to accept that. And it did. And I'm like, okay, cool. Awesome. Now, the thing is, for those that would like to look for me on Suno, I make everything private. Everything is private. Everything I do is private on Suno. Every single thing. And that was something I made with the staff. I literally talked with the staff. I said, look, you know, I'm going to do some really hardcore stuff. I promise I'm going to make everything private. And they're like, okay, cool. And I did. I stuck to my guns. I've not released anything to the Suno, you know, because they have a little platform where people share music. No, I don't want to put any of my stuff on there. I don't want to share. I don't care. I don't even put it in the Discord. I don't do anything. It's all me. A lot of it's just for me. And if it goes on the YouTube and other, you know, like the BitChute, it may go on BitChute. There may be some stuff on BitChute later in the future. But it's being taken from WAV file. Excuse me, MP3s, not WAV files, okay? I'm downloading the MP3s. They're smaller. I don't really care. I didn't really notice a difference. If you guys do care, whatever. But I'm listening to this stuff in my headphones with MP3s. The shit sounds good. I'm not having a problem with it. So, yeah. That solves that problem. And we'll see. Maybe I'll release some of this stuff. But there's some stuff that is really fucking personal. Very private. There's a lot of stuff that people just really don't need to know that I went through in life. And, yeah, it's just, again, that's me. That's for me. I understand what was going on when I wrote that song. So, it's some crazy shit, guys. But, yeah, I'm glad that I got the opportunity to do this and to work with this program. And it's going to be something I'll remember for the rest of my life, for sure. Because it's the only time I'll remember in history where I could take my music that I wrote for many, many years, the hundreds, and I do mean hundreds, of songs that I wrote, and put them into a program to make somebody sing them the way I've always wanted. I just hope that, again, the musicians get the money, you know? I want them to get the money for something. Obviously, the underground musicians or whatever that I use, they're not going to get anything. But to be fair, I'm not getting anything. Nobody's getting anything. You know, it's like, you're not getting anything, I'm not getting anything. Okay, we're both in the same spot. I'm not making any money off your sound. You're not making any money. We're both there. It's just, you know, whatever. And a lot of them are kind of cool because they know, you know, I'm not profiting off of it. Now, some of them just don't like it in general, some musicians, but others are like, yeah, I'm kind of indifferent. I don't really care. You know, it's just, if you enjoy it, as long as it sounds good, that's cool. But yeah, we'll do this last one because this one's kind of funny. A woman who went on a night out was utterly flabbergasted and discovered she'd ended up $50 billion in debt. It's hard to imagine any sort of night costing quite so much. That's what Maddie McGivern was faced with when she looked at her banking app and said she owed an astronomical amount of money. Fortunately, she had her friend Gabe Flores to look out for her and also filmed the moment and posted it on the internet for others to see. Also, fortunately, she did have a bank balance of just over $76 available, though when faced with a $50 billion bill... That's basically the atom of a drop in the ocean. What do I do? The woman wondered. And it's a fair question to ask should you ever find yourself back from a night out, only to discover you owe the GDP of a small nation. Wow. Luckily, when she called up her bank to ask about the absurdly massive debt hole she was in, they were as confused as she was. Somehow her account said she was due a payment of $50 billion by 2099, though the woman wasn't sure she'd be alive that long to collect the money. Man, that's after 2077! An employee of the bank, Chase, asked, "Can I put you on hold?" while they dealt with the matter and turned out to be a massive mistake. The bank said in a statement that there had been a technical glitch over the weekend which resulted in some weird figures appearing on a few people's banking apps, and they said they'd since sorted out things properly. All's well that ends well, even if for a short while, poor Maddie thought she was in more debt than she could imagine. Look at it. Go. $49 billion. Usually, if there's been an astronomical charge in your bank balance, it's a massive mistake and you ought to be very careful about touching that money. One bloke became the richest person of all time for 2 minutes of his life after his PayPal balance was a mistake. Wow! After his PayPal balance was mistakenly set to $70 quadrillion! Wow! As it turns out, someone had really messed up and they quickly realized their catastrophic mistake. You know what? I think I'm gonna buy China today! Boom! It's like shit. As it turns out, someone had really messed up and they quickly realized their catastrophic mistake, correcting it and leaving the man's financial plans in tattered. Fortunately, the bloke did understand it was a mistake and you just don't make 70 quadrillion just like that. It's like, no! I was gonna buy the world! However, one guy who experienced something similar got to keep the money as a Chilean worker was accidentally paid. Remember that? He ended up with $127,000. That's just insane. Well, okay, well, she was ran through after divorce. Yep, well, she was ran through after... I mean, that's a completely different story. We're not quite ready for our AI show yet, guys. It's coming, but it's... We don't have enough articles yet. I know I've talked a lot about AI, but basically just the Suno situation, which is relevant because, you know, I'm a pro user. I'm not, like, a premium user. I don't want the studio. I just like the pro... The program, which I started out with. And, yeah, that's something that's important to me. Also, since we have the Grimlord AI channel, which I may keep over here, but I think I may delete on YouTube. It just depends on how things shake off. I might release some things every once in a while on there. I don't know. But again, they'll just be MP3s with a little image. So, like, if you want them, that's up to you. I know you can download directly on BitChute, so if you care that much about something I wrote and think it just changed your life, take it. I don't give a shit. It's not mine anyway. Yeah, they're my lyrics, but... And they'd be like, oh yeah, we can take you to court and say they're mine. It's like, dude, I got pages and pages and pages of physical paper written on hand with actual pens and pencils and everything. It's like, holy shit. It's like, you want to see the source material? Here! Like, oh shit! Bring these old ancient papers that are falling apart. It's like, damn, you did write all this. Well, what do you want to do with it? Well, you can either give me the access to the 4.5 privately, or 4.5, I make them in 4.5, I master in 5. But you can give me the access to that privately, or you can get on the phone and call a shitload of bands and let's get this shit done professionally. And they can't say anything about the lyrics. I don't care. You're going to do them whether you like it or not. It's like, who the hell are you? I'm the guy that wrote this shit. You just do your job and sing. I would sing if I could, but I can't because of my throat issues. So you have to do it. It's like, damn. Kind of an asshole when it comes to my own music, guys. I'm sorry. When it comes to my own lyrics, I am kind of an asshole because, you know, I did spend... Some of them aren't great, but some of the songs, like, are pretty good. So I'm like, oh yeah, dude, I'm gonna fucking fight you over this. Or either you're not gonna be, oh, I don't wanna, no, I don't care if you don't like that line. You're gonna sing it. It's like, shit. We're getting little fist fights over shit. That's why I don't work with a lot of musicians. Because I'm very demanding about my lyrics. A lot of the times when I was in my old project, the emails back and forth were fights over lyrics. I literally got kicked out of the band because of lyrics. That's literally how big of a deal the lyrics are to me. If you don't like my lyrics, I'm packing my shit and going home. And I'll admit, there's some things I wrote that I'm still kind of confused about. It's like, where was I going with that? But some of the stuff I'll be like, oh, this is nice. I really do like these. I don't know where these lyrics came from, but they are beautiful. And I know I wrote them because I was there. I was alive to type them up, but... Anyway, I don't want to keep you guys here forever. There's other things you want to do. But I'm going to go ahead and get off. And basically, we'll do this again next week. I don't know if DP will be here. I don't know if he's coming back. I have no idea what's going on anymore, guys. You know, one day to the next. I didn't get no messages about it. He didn't send me anything. Nothing. Guys, I'm literally looking. I ain't got nothing. Apparently, it's not good for him right now. But, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we lost Empress. Or, you know what I would say? We lost She Who Shall Not Be Named. How about that? She Who Shall Not Be Named. We lost her. She went nuts. And then DP, he's just got to the point where he can't even do anything anymore. And it's sad. It's unfortunate. He's a good friend of mine, you know. And it sucks to see somebody like that really falling apart. Losing the things that... I don't know. It just... It puts you in a bad state, right? So I try not to think too much about it. But it is part of life, unfortunately. Bad things like that do happen to good people. But alright, guys. I'll see you next time. I'm out. I'm gonna go ahead and just do the stuff that me and DP would normally do. Because he may not be able to do it anymore. So I might as well continue those games, right? I mean, he won't be here with his jokes and stuff, but... I mean, we gotta do what we can. I mean, I'm not saying he won't show up from time to time, but it seems like things are changing, alright? So, like, I noticed the writing on the wall, you know. He stayed over for an hour last week, and I just, you know, we just had a lot of talking and file transfers and stuff like that. And that was pretty much it. It was basically him just trying to... let me know what was going on and try to fix it, right? Try to fix it. But he might not be able to fix it. I don't know what's going to happen. He might not even went to work. By the way, that day, he didn't even go to work that day. So he might not even be going to work. I don't know what he's doing. I got no idea what's going on. I won't know until I know. Now, if he gives me a message and things change, I'll let you know. But as far as I can tell, I don't know. Yep, it's just going back to what it was, me. If you guys like that, cool. If you guys want me to rant again like I used to, I'm all for it now. I can do it, and I will do it. If you guys don't care, I noticed that a lot of guys on the other platform, not BitChute, but the other one, you're not really there anymore. That's fine too. That platform isn't doing so well with my content. I know people still watch, but, you know, it's just like there's nobody hardly there anymore. It doesn't matter. It's just, you know, all this stuff is just kind of fun for me. I've just been enjoying it. And, of course, I'll continue to do this stuff on Joystick, which I know you guys like. I know there's a lot of people, and it grows, and people enjoy the VODs, which actually have newer stuff than... Well, by the time this one goes up, you'll have the Sleepless stuff. But as of right now, I haven't even posted it yet. I'll post it later, you know? So, we're just going to do it like that. And that's going to be the 30. So, I will see you guys next time with more great articles and rants on the Grim Articles Show. I'm out, guys. Enjoy the decline.